Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy patience. Thou hast been so faithful in dealing with us. Thou knowest our frame, and Thou rememberest that we are but dust. And we are so thankful that, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And our Father, we come unto Thee humbly, confessing our shortcoming and weaknesses, rejoicing in Thy grace and mercy, and praying now that Thou will continue Thy kindness to us and bless us in Christ Jesus. Add Thy blessing to us by letting Thy Holy Spirit take the things of the Lord and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. In reading along in chapter 26 of the Gospel according to Matthew, in verses 14 to 16, we come to the first incident, or the first reference to something that I'm sure is a matter of real concern and a puzzle to anybody that seriously studies the circumstances under which our Lord Jesus Christ lived. I'm thinking about Judas. Everybody knows all over the world, everybody knows that Judas betrayed the Lord. We all know why he did it. He got 30 pieces of silver. And we have many discussions about it, pro and con. We have people asking ourselves, could he have done any different? Since the Lord Jesus was to be betrayed, maybe Judas had to do it. We wonder about it. Sometimes we can get real sympathetic with him and are sorry that it happened to him because we have the feeling that maybe someone had to do it and he had to do it. On other times, the questions that come to our mind come along this line. How could he do it? He had been with the Lord Jesus for 3 years. And remember this, he was not just one of the crowd. He wasn't one of 500 men following the Lord, nor was he one of 120 men following the Lord. But Judas was one of the 12 men chosen from among the disciples to be his apostles, that they should be with him, and that they should receive of his power, that they might have power to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to preach to the people, to comfort the people. Now, he was one of the 12. When the Lord Jesus sent out his disciples two by two, Judas went. He was not only one of the 12, but it's pretty clear from what the scriptures say that he was the treasurer of the apostolic company. John tells us that he kept the bag. He had the money. In other words, they evidently had one common fund that they all shared in, and this common fund was evidently used for the purchasing of their supplies. And John tells us that Judas had the money bag. Now, I'd like to suggest to you that when you're considering Judas, that you be careful that you do not think of him as being a crude, vulgar man. Don't think of this being a shifty, sneaky thief. Remember, he was one of the apostles, not just for a week, not just for 6 weeks. He had been one of the apostles, so nearly as we can tell, for upwards of 3 years. And not only that, but remember that in that, the apostolic company, these 12 apostles, they trusted him with the money. I think it's perfectly proper for you to just remember that these apostles were not foolish men, especially when it came to business. It just happens that these 12 apostles, before they followed the Lord Jesus, they were laymen. And they were businessmen. Peter, James, and John, and Simon, and Andrew, his brother, they were fishermen. And Nathanael was a banker, a tax gatherer. And others of this company were men of unusual experience in the world outside. If they trusted any one man to be their treasurer, you can know right well that he was a man who had their confidence. I don't think it is making too light of it to just remember that these people were all Jews. And if you can think of any man who would be the treasurer of 12 Jews, now you know he would be a man that in every, by any ordinary standards, he must have been a man that had their confidence. What I'm trying to say to you and to myself is that when I consider what Judas did, I must remember this was a man that by every conceivable standard would have been counted a good man, a competent man, and a faithful man. Now, I know that John says about him that he was a thief. You remember it says that he's the one that criticized Mary. John tells us that he's the one that criticized Mary. And it says, this said he not because he had an interest in the poor, but because he held the money, because he held the bag, because he was interested in the money. And then John says about him that he was a thief. Now, I want to raise you a question with you. When is a man a thief? What do you mean, a thief? Because this is very important here. And I'll ask you this. Do you have to steal to be a thief? What were you? What is a man before he steals? Would he be an honest man? Don't you realize if he were an honest man, he'd never steal? Don't you know that it takes a thief to steal? Then what is a thief? A thief is a man who wants to get money without giving adequate or understood and proper goods in exchange. He wants to get it in some cheap way. He wants to get something that doesn't belong to him. Any time I'm covetous about anything, I'm a thief. Anything I try to get something that I'm not willing to pay for, I'm a thief. And if I even have the disposition in my heart to wish I had it, I'm a thief. I might not ever actually really have the chance to steal, because I'm in a situation where it isn't possible. But if I have in my heart the idea that I'd like to get a hold of things without ever paying any attention to who owned them or who did they belong to or what should have been paid for them, just I can get my hands on them, I'll claim them for myself. I'm a thief. Now, when we say that Judas was a thief, we're just going to say he was a man that had a love for money. You'll remember the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And I want to remind you again and again that that's not money. Mark your words down. That's not money. It isn't money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And in that connection, you and I can remember that there are people who are afflicted by the love of money that don't have any money. There are any number of poor people whose hearts and minds are filled with the love of money. You don't have to be rich to love money. And when we think of these things, we can see that so far as this man is concerned, he may very well, in all those days he was an apostle, have rendered a just account of all the monies given to him. Of course, he could still love it and love to handle it. But the point is that it isn't necessary that you make out of him a man who stole from the apostles. This doesn't mean that he embezzled money all the time. And what that brings to our mind is this, that the real sin of Judas in exchanging his loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver was a sin that Judas had committed long, long before. When he first gave himself over to the love of money, when he first esteemed money so highly that it was more important to him than anything else in the world, he laid the whole situation out before it ever came to pass. Actually, the matter of undertaking to sell out the Lord Jesus Christ and to betray him just came into his mind just in the last day or so before he did it. In fact, in John tells us that in the 13th chapter of John, we read, Satan having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, but that language, put it in, is too mild. It's something like hurled it into his heart. He threw it into his heart. It was an impulsive idea that just struck him and came to him, that he could make some money out of this. And this was brought to the surface, apparently, when he saw what Mary had done in anointing him with this precious ointment. Now, the thought with reference to Judas that will be helpful to us is that no matter how long the idea of getting money for the betrayal was in his heart, because elsewhere we can read in various places that Judas had considered the possibility. He may even have been approached. I don't know. It does say he hunted them up. But whatever that may be, how long the idea had been in his heart that he would betray the Lord, I don't know. But this action of Mary in anointing him with the precious ointment seemed to provoke him. It prompted the appearance of this in actual act. Every now and again, we hear of people who will tell you that when they see certain persons seeking the Lord spiritually, it just makes them feel that they want to go out and just be real worldly. And I know one time somebody did something like that. Someone got up and made a talk about a certain habit and said that it wasn't good, and he was so provoked by it that when he got through, he went right out and indulged in the habit, even though he'd never done it before. And that was supposed to mean something. You know all that that means? That means that that as far as that man is concerned, it just means something like this, that if you saw one of the fowl, one of the birds in the farmyard that suddenly came to where there was some water, and he just flew into it and started to swim. You know what you got? You've got a duck. That's what you've got. He had it in him to want to do it, and I don't care who the man is. Nobody's going to be prompted in reaction to do something he doesn't want to do. But sometimes situation can come up that can be so provoking to us that we go ahead and do something we've been wanting to do all the time anyway, and it just brings it out. And that's what I think happened here. The reaction to holy conduct on the part of some person can prompt some people who are natively wicked, inwardly wicked, to open sin. But does that mean that holiness is wrong? No, it simply means that the sin came out. It just got provoked and just came out at that time. So far as this man is concerned, the real sin of Judas was that he loved money. And that caught him in a weak moment, and he fell a victim of it here. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us about our weaknesses. There will be things that in ourselves we have committed ourselves to that could lead us astray. Forbid that it should happen. Give us the grace to trust in the Lord and be delivered from such things. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.